This song has struck at the heart of a lot of people, including myself, and I'm a man, so I have no concept of how hard it is to be a woman and have to always try. But in my discussions with women, I'm getting a little bit of an idea. And so it strikes me to watch it, just thinking about how hard it is to try, or that you don't have to try. But I guess I want to start off by asking the question, does Colby actually solve the problem, though, in this song? You just have to get up. What does that even mean? You know, bless her heart for trying, but I don't know that she really answers the problem. A couple of thoughts come out of this. One is, you know, often a lot of people think this is what it's saying. You know, because you're beautiful, without all that makeup? That's what is typically the response. You're beautiful with all that makeup, and you don't have to try. The problem is, this hit me powerfully last night, is that everything for a woman changes if you're beautiful. And as a man, I am not as aware of it, even though it's us men that actually cause this. So men are responsible, and yet we're really unaware of just how much we impact all of the women. I mean, if you're a waitress, you're going to get a better tip. If you want a job, you're going to get the first interview. You're probably going to get a much better chance of getting hired. You're going to get more raises. You're going to get more promotions. You're going to get it goes on and on and on. If you're beautiful in this world, you get first choice at everything. You get first choice at the men who you're going to marry. You get the dates. You get it all. You get homecoming queen. You just get everything. That's this whole world is like made for beautiful people. And it's not fair. And so I don't think she's answering that problem in this video. Secondly, it says you don't have to try because people will like you just the way you are. And, you know, to some extent that might be true, but I think the feeling is, but will they value me just as much? Because they treat people so differently. If you get treated so differently based on how you look, how can you feel like your value is the same either way? It doesn't really match up. And what's interesting about this is Colby, I don't even think she agrees with what she's trying to say. And the reason I think so is, for one, this is the after Colby. And my wife pointed out, she's not without makeup. She's not without makeup. The after is not without makeup, let alone the before. The after, she's got rouge on. She's got lipstick on. She still has probably a base. She probably has eye. She has all kinds of makeup, and that's the after. So even in her video where she's trying to make the point, she can't come out and just take up all her makeup. She'll lose her career, I think, is what she feels. In fact, I went online and I looked at average shots of Colby. Tried to get like what an average. So you saw the more made up one. The one we just looked at, you'll never see that again except on that video, okay? She usually looks about like this. She's made up. You can't say she's not trying, right? Colby knows that she needs to try or else the world will treat her differently as well. The truth is she's trapped. She's trapped. And what's she trapped by? She's trapped by her need to feel loved and valued. But the thing is, Colby's not alone. We all, every single one of us here, need to feel loved and valued. None of us escape that. Not a single one of us. We all need to feel loved and valued. And we all use things, whether it's our looks or whether it's our talents, whether it's success, whether it's our wealth, it goes on and on. We will use whatever it is so that we will feel value. And we will do whatever it takes to feel loved. The fact is we are all trapped in this issue of needing to try to find value. And we're all trapped by the same thing Colby was trapped in, and that is that we need to feel loved and valued. So you don't have to try. The reason this video is so powerful is because it strikes at our core of what we need. We so deeply desire to feel value, and we would just love it if we could just feel that value without having to try so hard. Imagine for just even a moment of being truly loved and valued just as you are, just as you wake up in the morning and hop out of bed. The reality, we are. We actually are. God values us just the way we are. You don't have to try with God. You don't have to get up and put on the makeup. Guys, we don't have to be successful. We don't have to be wealthy. We don't have to have all sorts of talents or any talents. God does not love us for those things at all. He loves us because He made us. He created us and He loves us. He does not put any kind of a qualification on us in order to be loved by Him. And as powerful as that is, it's so hard to make it real in our life. And you might be asking yourself, well, I'd love to have that, but I don't know how to get there. What do I need to do to feel that value from God so that I can just finally just rest for a minute? Well, maybe a week after, so about 3 weeks ago, I was on Facebook, and I have a friend on Facebook. Her name's Amy, and she's in the front row. And Amy, she didn't say anything to me at all. I just ran into her on Facebook, where she started a group called 100 Days of Beauty. And so that captured me. I just spoke on it. So I was like, what's this all about? And so I looked at her page. And by the way, I encourage all of you on Facebook to look that up, 100 Days of Beauty on Facebook. She writes about her journey. She writes about listening to that video and realizing, truly, she doesn't have to try. That God is indeed going to love her just as she is, just as He promised. And she shares that journey to some degree on this Facebook page. And some of the other, a few other ladies in our church joined that group. So I'm going to ask Amy if she'd like to come up, and she already said yes. And Amy's going to come up and share with you a little bit about her journey on accepting that God truly loves her just as she is. Oh, did it move?
Good morning. Are you guys as nervous as I am? Yeah. No? Okay.
No.
I didn't think so. So I'm going to be honest with you. When Bobby asked me to get up here and talk, I sat down to write down what I wanted to say, and I rewrote it probably 500 times, maybe in about a four-hour period, just because this is so personal to me, and it's so complex, and I know that that video and Bob's sermon that week probably spoke to a lot of you as well. And so he had just kind of asked me to share with you my story as to where I've been and how I got to where I am today. But first of all, let me explain the challenge for those of you that don't know. I challenged myself to 100 days of no makeup, No doing my hair, no pedicures, no vanity, no buying new clothes, no shopping, none of that. And when I first started the challenge, I wasn't really sure where I was going to go or what really the purpose was or where it was going to lead me. And I'm still in the thick of it, so I think we're about 25, 30 days in. So this is where we're at today. So, and excuse me for reading, but I'm a little nervous, so I don't want to miss anything. I've spent my entire life seeking acceptance and value. When I was 6, my grandma told me that I was too fat to play dress-up clothes in her clothes anymore. My food was ordered for me at most restaurants because I wasn't capable of making any smart decisions until I was about 16. I watched both of my parents and most of my family fret over their appearances my entire life. In high school, my mom bribed me to exercise with a new wardrobe. That same woman told me that the best part about me was my social security number so that she could collect food stamps. At the age of 19, I moved across country to be with a guy who thought I had potential, because we all have potential. And after 8 years of not meeting his thinking that I had potential, I divorced him as well as his addictions, his emotional abuse, and constant criticism of my appearance. During that 8 years, I climbed a corporate ladder and I got knocked down because I wasn't old enough, I wasn't educated enough, and I certainly wasn't male enough to be in that position. As a woman in this life, I've competed with magazines, movie stars, pornography, fashion styles best suited for someone much smaller than myself. And as a mother, I am judged daily by other mothers. I'm compared to my own mother, which isn't always a bad thing. And I'm always justifying myself to non-mothers. I don't know about you, but I find this to be incredibly exhausting to do this every day. I tell you all of this because it's part of my journey, not because I want you to feel sorry for me or because I am a victim, but because I know it's personal to me, and there isn't a woman sitting here today, however old you are, that can't relate to that on some level. And there isn't a man in here that hasn't heard it, probably repeatedly, from some another woman in his life. And that's why I share that information with you. When Bobby showed this video singing about how you don't have to try, something inside of me finally clicked. Colby's not saying that I have permission to give up, but rather that my value and acceptance is something that I already had, and I don't need to keep trying to get it. It dawned on me that I'd been looking to find my value in places that it's never actually been, such as other people, things, events, titles, my appearance, etc., etc. I expected those things to fill the God-shaped hole in my heart that Bobby also talked about that day. And guess what? None of those things ever filled me up. I always felt empty and exhausted from searching. Ecclesiastes says, it's like chasing the wind. I decided then and there on that Sunday for my chair in the second row where I always sit that I was going to start filling my God-shaped hole with, ready? God. And I did. And it was great for one whole day. And then about 2 days later, I decided I was going to do it again from my van in the garage, in the dark, after a really bad mom day, tears coming down my face, decided I was going to do it one more time. And you know what? I did. For one more whole day. You see where this is going? I desperately wanted to fill that hole with God, but I just could not for the life of me figure out how. I knew all the answers in my head, or so I'd thought. We learned stuff at Mommy's Coffee about it. We listened to Steve talk about it. The devotions and books that I read, they all talked about it. But I couldn't actually get around to doing it. Every single day there was a distraction when I felt like I was trying, and then I was defeating the purpose because I was trying so hard to get something that I wasn't even supposed to have to try really hard to get. And so I knew at that point, if I was going to drastically change my heart and my life, I had to do something drastic to do it. And I would need a daily reminder to stay on track. It's no secret in my life that my biggest distraction and source of discontentment was the way that I looked or how I felt about myself. So I thought maybe that would be a really good place to start. I spent the most time, the most money, most effort trying to make myself feel better about my appearance, and I placed the majority of my value in how I saw myself and how others saw me too. I was filling up my God-shaped hole with destructive relationships, pedicures, diet pills, new clothes, gym memberships, fancy purses, expensive makeup, face care. The list goes on and on. And I wasn't leaving any room in that God-shaped hole for God. And so I decided that a fast of sorts was in order. And perhaps if I remove the pressure to maintain a certain appearance, then I could focus on putting God back in that God-shaped hole. So with all that said, I want you to understand that this fast and this journey, my 100 days of beauty, has really nothing to do with not wearing makeup or not curling my hair or not shopping. It's not anything to do with sacrifice or even deprivation. It's about removing the obstacles in my life and my heart that keep me from growing closer to God. It's about, for the first time, putting all of my focus, my vulnerability, my insecurity, my fears, all of that back into the hands of God, seeking Him when I need to feel accepted and valued. When my kids have run me ragged, which they do often, I need to seek God. And when the futility of being a housewife gets the best of me, I need to seek God. When the baby wakes up every hour, all night long, screaming, the next day, I need to seek God. When the world tells me that I'm too fat, I'm too short, I'm too pale, I'm too disposable, I need to seek God. In this journey, for me, what's changed over the last 30 days is, you know, when I go in the bathroom every morning, my makeup drawer, which hasn't been opened except for by my 3-year-old who wants to know why I don't wear makeup anymore, it's become a daily reminder to read my Bible. The time that I would spend doing my hair or pampering myself in the morning is a time that I now spend in prayer. The insecurity that I feel, and I still feel it, when I'm dressing my post-baby body, is replaced and starting to be replaced with a confidence and appreciation for the miracle of life and of having these beautiful children. The computer that I once researched diets, exercise plans, weekend getaways, and mindless other things now streams K-Love nonstop, and I use it to research my scripture. The emptiness that I have felt my whole life is starting to be replaced by a closer relationship with God. And that feeling has been better than any earthly pleasure that I have ever tried to fill that God-shaped hole with. One day, I will wear makeup again. I'll buy clothes. I'll go shopping, all of that. But right now, I am enjoying my time with the Lord. And for the next 100 days, it's just me and Him.
I got to see what she said, and the part of it that stuck out to me the strongest was when she made this statement. It's about putting all of my focus, vulnerabilities, insecurities, and fears back into the hands of God, seeking Him when I need to feel accepted and valued. And that word vulnerability is so powerful. I've noticed in my own life that if I'm not vulnerable, that it's very difficult for me to find or to allow a connection with God. It's only when, yeah, I think it's the reason suffering is so often helpful in our search for God, because it opens up our heart. We have so many layers between us and God. And when we're seeking value, we use so many different things to that creates like a barrier between us and God. And this vulnerability, I feel, is the key to why it's making such a big difference for Amy. And I think the key why how it can make such a big difference for us, whether you take the 100 days or whatever it is that you need to do in order to start pulling away some of those things that are obstacles between you and God, things that that you are depending on instead of depending on God. We talked about the God-shaped hole, and I want to describe that one more time. It says God there. It's not because God's in the heart right there. It might appear that way, but the idea is actually there's a hole. It's a God-shaped hole. Every one of us, I believe, has a God-shaped hole. I believe we are created this way. The Bible talks about the idea that every man coming into the world has a need. And I believe that it's this idea that he is using life to pull us to him. Because otherwise we just don't pursue him. We just don't. We just don't really care. But the truth is that there is this hole, there is this need that we all have. None of us are just okay when we get up. Nobody just gets up and sits down and says, you know, I'm just fine. It isn't that way. You either have to go work at something, or you have to go look different, or you have to go succeed, or you have to, you know, show your talents. You have to have compliments. You need. We're just not okay as we are. And it's because our God-shaped hole is not filled with God. And if it's not filled with God, we're going to try to fill it with something that helps to make it feel better, even though it's not filled with God. So we fill it with whatever it is in our life that seems to make us feel better. The problem is it doesn't last. It lasts for a season. We think we found the man that will finally make us happy. And they improve it for a while, and then we realize it didn't, even if they're a great guy, it didn't fill that hole. We get a job that makes us feel like we're really super and wonderful, and that works for a little while. But it doesn't fill your God-shaped hole. The truth is, nothing in this life is going to fill your God-shaped hole. Only God can fill our God-shaped hole. And what's neat about it is you don't really have to do anything except allow God to fill it. And how do we do that? Through faith. The truth is, he already values us. Right now, today. The truth is that the God-shaped hole is filled in reality, but not in our mind. The truth is he loves me and values me, and if I can believe that he loves me and values me, then my God-shaped hole is filled. And that is what we need to do. Just fill our God-shaped hole with, through faith, that he indeed loves us, that he indeed values me completely just the way that I am. Let's pray. Dear Father, first of all, thank you for how you're affecting Amy, and I really appreciate her willingness to be so vulnerable and willing to come up and share her testimony with everybody. And Lord, I pray that we will really come to grips with the fact that we have a hole that only you can fill. That we will call our belief in hopes in things of this world to fill that hole lies, that we will not accept them, and that we will reject them and accept only you to fill the needs that we have for personal worth. Thank you so much that you loved us, that you sent your son to die to show that love to us, to prove it to us, and that we have an eternity with you where you will rain down your love and that we will fill all of that value that right now we can only imagine. And maybe you're here today and you've never actually began a relationship with God. If you would like to make that decision today, if you would like to bring God into your life, all it takes is faith. All it takes is opening your heart and accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you would like to do that this morning, just say this prayer along with me. It's not about the prayer, it's about your heart before God. Dear God, I realize that I'm a sinner. I realize that I've spent my whole life searching for things to feel okay, to feel value, but that the truth is that everything that I need is in you, that you have sent your Son, Jesus Christ, into this world to die for me. You have shown the ultimate loving sacrifice, so that I would know that you love me and so that it would take away my sins. And I want to put my faith in you. I want to live my life in such a way that it honors you from this day forward. And I ask you this in your name. Amen.